Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Kay James, Director of the Office of Personnel and Management. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Nicole Gartner.
Kay, you've given us an incredibly refreshing and very forward-looking vision of what it means to be at OPM and in HR in the government today. But there are a lot of changes that are going to be happening. And can you sort of talk to us about how you're going to help the people in the other agencies in the HR world and also some of the challenges that you're facing?
Certainly, certainly. One of the tools that we have available to us for management is something called the Human Resources Management Council. And that's made up of the senior HR people from all across government. And as we meet with that council, I continue to ask them about what kinds of tools do they need in order to step up to the plate for the new paradigm. I also, as I am going out and challenging the managers, that it is imperative if you are going to be successful and accomplishing your core mission within your agency, you must spend somewhere between 40 to 60% of your time on the management of human capital. Every executive that I have talked to from the corporate world says, if I am successful, I am spending somewhere between 40 to 60% of my time on the strategic management of human capital. So I am pressing them to focus on succession planning, to focus on what their organization should be structured like, what should it look like in order to accomplish the mission, to do long-term strategic planning about the people that you will need to accomplish a mission. Having said that, then I have to turn to the HR community and say, if we're going to tell our senior managers that you must be involved in the strategic planning for your agency, then when you are invited to the table, you must be prepared to talk the talk that will be happening around that table. In other words, HR people have to be strategic thinkers, not just folks who fill out forms and answer questions about benefits. Personnel managers have to be long-term planners. They have to be very conversant with and be able to maneuver their way around a very complex budget document. Incidentally, a budget is nothing more than the price tag on the things you want to do. And if you're going to put a price tag on the things you want to do and you have a clear vision of what that is, you also have to know what kind of people you're going to need in order to get that done. So sitting at the table, making key decisions about what's going to happen within an agency need to be the chief financial officer, the chief human resources manager, the chief operating officers. These are the core players that need to be there. So I'm telling our HR community that when invited in, be prepared to do some heavy lifting.
What kind of training are you offering them to get them to be able to be competent in doing what you're saying?
Well, as an example, we have coming up fairly soon is some training for the senior managers all across government, not just HR professionals, on the president's management agenda so that they will understand it, they will understand the scorecard, they will know what the measures are, and they will be able to come up with some strategic planning on how to do it. We've asked our Federal Executive Institute to begin to develop programs that will help managers, HR managers, but all managers, to be conversant with the budget, to be conversant with long-term strategic planning techniques, to understand the implications of competitive outsourcing and what that means and what kind of knowledge workers. So we are revamping our training internally as well to make sure that the HR managers and indeed all managers have the appropriate tools in their toolbox to get the job done.
Could you describe OPM's role in dealing with the other HR professionals in the other agencies of the federal government? I've heard different verbs used. I've heard regulate, I've heard monitor, I've heard coordinate. I'm just sort of wondering, when you talked about the council,
and the answer to your question, Paul, is yes. We do all of that. But we do it with a smile. Yes, we have oversight responsibility, and we have some statutory authority, which we are, you know, required to do in terms of monitoring and oversight. We also, however, view ourselves as counselors and as consultants to the agencies. And that may be even a little bit of a paradigm shift as well. You know, it's been interesting to me to talk to some of the senior managers in agencies. And they say, we are told that we can't do this, and it's impossible to do this, and it's because of OPM. I said, describe to me what your problem is. And then what I have been doing around the agencies is putting together a team of experts that can help any agency go, and we will go in as consultants to say, explain to me what it is that you want to get done. We will help you within the context of the law, within context of the merit system, protecting veterans' preferences, making sure that you have a diverse community and workforce. Within that context, we will help you get done what you need to have happen. And so, yes, we monitor, we consult, we have oversight. All of those functions describe what OPM does.
What are some of the challenges you have in terms of dealing with the cross-cutting HR stakeholders and some of the other agencies? What are the challenges you face, and how do you address them?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes when you go out into middle America, and people talk about the federal workforce, it's as though we're one. And I even hear this sometimes in conversations and discussions on Capitol Hill and even within the administration, the federal workforce. And yes, there is some entity called the federal workforce. But I think you've hit upon something very important. Can you imagine the difference in the kinds of work, the scope of work that's done at an agency like NIH and what's done at NASA? I mean, their missions and the types of work they do are so different. The kinds of workers that they need may be very different. And so, yes, while there is unity, within that unity, there is a great deal of diversity. And so I think OPM has to be nimble and flexible. And while protecting the core vision and the core values of what the American people expect out of us, we have got to allow the flexibility of those various agencies. It is really sometimes almost mind-boggling, and you almost have whiplash as you move from one agency to another. And I think if someone can understand the distinction between running a research institute and regulating a child care industry. I mean, those are such different that sometimes it can be very mind-boggling. And so I think the key to that is flexibility and a consulting role where we go in, understand the work and the mission of that particular agency, and figure out how to take the things that Congress has dictated and that that are expected of us by the American people, and then translate that for that particular agency. Therefore, there is never a dull moment, and any person who works in the HR field at OPM has to be incredibly flexible to work in those that so many different work environments, and to make the things that we do real and relevant in such complex and different arenas.
Let me just ask a tactical management question. How do you communicate all these new ideas and the new initiatives? I mean, you simply can't meet with everybody. I know you're very busy, but there's
yes.
just not that much time.
Well, you know, thank goodness for the technology age. We have an extraordinary website that we encourage people to visit and to use. We use the medium like we are today through radio and through television. The director has a very active public speaking schedule to get the mission out and to provide leadership. But beyond that, it's done through many councils like the Human Resources Management Council and others within the agency. We have task forces. And probably the most effective tool is one that the president set up, which is the President's Management Council. And I think your listeners would be interested to know that the president has designated in every one of these agencies a chief operating officer who is responsible for the operations of that agency. And we meet once a month and come together as a management team to talk about the issues that are relevant for running this organization. So that is another vehicle that sort of drives the agenda and provides the leadership for getting this done.
Kay, you mentioned the President's Management Council, and there are some important initiatives that have come out of that, the eGov activities. What role is OPM going to play in improving the effectiveness and efficiency of the government?
E-government is a very good one to talk about, even as it relates to OPM, because we are tasked with providing leadership on several of those particular initiatives. The president has as the lead on that an extraordinary man by the name of Mark Forman, who's providing the leadership on eGov. Our piece of that is, as an example, we have leadership I'm almost embarrassed to say to your listeners that the federal government is still operating on a paper application system, and that all of these very diverse agencies that I talked about have their own independent systems. And, you know, we have been tasked, as an example, providing leadership on the e-government initiative that will look at how we can centralize that, streamline it, and make it more customer-friendly and service-oriented. But we have to do that on a variety of areas, and eGov is just one.
Well, it's time for a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Kay James of OPM. In our last segment, we'll ask her about the impact of the expected retirement wave on the federal government. This is the Business of Government Hour.